This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the phone right now, I'm chatting with Brett from a band called Pallbearer. They have a new album called Mind Burns Alive. It's available now, and they're going to be in town coming up next Friday at the Substation. And this is a band you got to see live. Their music is amazing on album, but live, they just pour so much emotion and raw energy. It's just like such an awesome thing. I'm going to stop gushing about the band. It's probably making them uncomfortable. Brett, how you doing?
I'm feeling uncomfortable. No, I'm great. Thank you.
Absolutely. So I'm assuming you're out on the road right now because you're from Arkansas, but you're probably out on the road somewhere in the Midwest. Where are you right now?
I'm actually home for today. We leave tomorrow. We had a short break between the first leg and the second leg. So I just got home. I have been out of town seeing some family and stuff, so I've still, despite being off the road, have still been traveling. So I'm home for tonight. I'm going to get packed up and head out to St. Louis tomorrow.
Okay, right on. Well, we're stoked to have you here in Seattle. You know, being someone from, you know, Little Rock, Arkansas, is that where you grew up?
I grew up in Arkansas. I lived in central Arkansas since the late 90s, but I was born in like South Arkansas and have lived in the state most of my life.
So I'm friends with the singer of a band called Terminal Nation from your area, and Stan. Seems like there's kind of been a renaissance as far as like they put on a festival called Bangin' in the Rock. It seems like they're really putting on for like hardcore and metal music in the area. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably not always been like that. Is that correct, or has there always been a really healthy scene in that area?
There has been at times, whenever I was like a teenager in my early 20s, like there was a really lively, like sludge, kind of doom, crust, experimental, just real interesting and kind of unique sort of music.
Isn't that where the band Wake is from?
Yeah, Wake, Deadbird is from, they're from Northwest Arkansas, but... there were some really, really great bands here in the early 2000s and a little beyond. But a lot of those guys started, having families and stuff. And so their bands weren't quite as active. And, you know, just the tides of music changed a little bit.
Sure.
So there was a lull for a few years and where there wasn't a whole lot happening in the heavy music scene. But it seems like... especially post-pandemic, like the heavy music scene here is like more explosive and healthier than I've ever seen it, even back in those days, like, because there's just even back when I was, you know, coming up in the scene, there were a lot of cool bands coming through, but the crowds would still be kind of like, you know, there'd be decent, but it's Little Rock, it's still it wouldn't be a ton of people. But now, like, I think largely due to the way that the Terminal Nation guys and some other people here in town have really like stoked the fires, there's just huge crowds, you know, relative to the size of the city, but there'll be huge crowds for, you know, up and coming bands, local bands, and more bands are coming through, out of town bands are coming through Little Rock than ever before. And I think that's, it's really amazing to see how healthy and vibrant the scene is right now.
That's awesome, man. So I'm curious about something, and I it might be a touchy subject. I hope it's not. But you guys put out Forgotten Days in 2020, right in the beginning of the pandemic, right? So, I mean, it's probably you probably want to forget about those days, right? The pandemic and whatnot, everyone was at home. What was it like releasing a record that you couldn't really tour on and you couldn't really, like, you know, it's a gross word to say, but couldn't really capitalize on it. You couldn't really make, you know, you couldn't really push it. Was it yeah. a difficult time?
Well, it sounds, I mean, records cost money to make, and
yeah.
you can't recoup. I mean, just from a truly, like, monetary side of it, like, it costs money to make, and then you can't make that money back on the road. Like, that's the only way a band
yeah.
of our size makes any money is by touring. And on top of that, when we were making that record, when we were writing it, conceptualizing it, it was meant to be a record that was best experienced live. Like, mm-hmm. the songs are, you know, pretty straightforward by Paul Bearer standards. They're like more riff centric. There's less of the, you know, exploratory type stuff that
sure.
is often characterizes our music. And that was, you know, that was our experiment. That was a type of experiment for us, like get
yeah.
rid of the more experimental stuff and just lean into the riffs. And so we always felt that those songs were going to flourish in a live setting. And that was not to happen, you know.
Sure.
It ended up not being a possibility. So we released this record that was meant to be experienced live and didn't really get to play those songs live until, you know, many years later.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really like a tour on that record by that point, because it came out in 2020 and we didn't start touring again until 2023. I felt like the ship had kind of sailed by then, even though we were still playing some Forgotten Day songs in the set. But by that point, we were ready to move on to Mine Burns Alive.
And in that point, the album title just becomes Prophecy, right? It's just...
I know, it's ironic.
Okay, so, you know, what did you guys pivot to? You guys couldn't, you know, go out and tour. Did you guys immediately start working on this record, or what did you guys focus on as a band? Or as
well,
humans?
Well, I got lost in, like, a modular synth hole for a lot of the...
That's right. We talked about that at
the
beginning.
Pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got sucked into that. It kind of kept me busy since I couldn't play music with other people. I
mm-hmm.
just played with myself, so to speak.
Yeah, okay.
musical masturbation.
Yes.
But, I mean, it was fun, and it taught me a lot about, you know, different areas of music, so I think it was worthwhile. But it is really nice to be out actually playing with the band again.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to replicate that feeling other than to just do it. But, yeah, I mean, we were already working on the Mine Burns Alive songs, you know, in 2019. But those went on the back burner so we could focus on Forgotten Days. And then once that album came out, we started focusing on these songs again.
Okay.
Originally, we were going to try to record this album in spring of 2020, and obviously that didn't happen, because I think we were going to go in May of 2020
mm-hmm.
to record, so for very obvious reasons that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I think it was for the best, because that allowed us, you know, a lot more time to develop the songs, and I think they really benefited from that extra time. But yeah, the sequence of the Mine Burns Alive songs go back to, many of them at least, go back to 2019. So, but once Forgotten Days came out, that trying to perfect the Mine Burns Alive songs became our main focus, along with just kind of dealing with the day-to-day life
yeah.
in the pandemic years, the psychic weight of existence. Those times.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That sounds like a doom metal song, Psychic Weight of Existence. I'm curious.
I should join a doom metal.
Hey, there you go. Get some, that sounds like the kind of like bell bottom style of doom.
yeah.
You know? You spiritual beggars kind of style. So
yeah.
you were saying, like, so these songs were, you know, for this record and these songs were for that record. Now, I'm kind of curious about that. When you're, so you, going in, you're like, this is specifically the vibe we're going for. We can't mix this into that record. Like, can you differentiate between what, you know, the two records, and you guys had specific visions for those two? Or, you know, let's kind of dig into that a little bit.
Well, we found the visions. Well, you know, in the very early stages, I was just writing without any intent, just, you know, seeing what comes out. And after a point, it became clear that there was, you know, this really riffy kind of stuff that I was writing.
Yeah,
and then also a more kind of delicate and nuanced groups of, you know, at that point, just riffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, I started developing the songs farther. With Disease was an early one.
Yeah.
And I think Where the Light Fades. So they were kind of written alongside the Forgotten Days material. But, you know, I demoed out most of those songs. And listening to them side by side, it's like there's very different vibes here. Mm-hmm. So it makes more sense to lean into the strengths, or at least the characteristics of the different groups of songs, and give them more of a defined identity by splitting them into two separate albums. Because I think, you know, if you stuck Where the Light Fades onto Forgotten Days, it would feel kind of out of place, maybe jarring.
Okay.
And I, you know, and there's something to be said for having a mixture. I still think that both of those albums still have a mixture of songs, like the way that we approach them. But I think there's a tighter grouping of, you know, aesthetic.
Yeah.
Amongst the two albums being separate. You know, we always want there to be, you know, we don't want all our songs to sound the same, even on an album, but we also want each of our albums to have a very, you know, strong identity that speaks for itself. And I think that the songs that we chose for each album, you know, they landed in the right spot. I think there's a stronger identity for each album that way.
I mean, I love the new record, and you couldn't be more right, you know, and you have a rich, you know, discography of music, and it sounds like you guys very much have a vision. Do you guys have, I'm assuming you're probably even thinking about the next album. What, or are you guys focusing right now on solely on tour?
Oh no, I'm always thinking of the next album.
Okay, yeah.
And it's not, I wrote a ton of stuff that, you know, during the break between what we decided of what was going to go on Mind Burns Alive.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'll use any of it, but it's always a good practice to just write songs, even as an exercise as a songwriter. Because I'll write some stuff and be like, well, this is cool, but does it really sound like Paul Bearer? I mean, it can be if I want it to be, but
sure.
Is this the direction we want to pursue, you know? And so, yeah, we're always looking forward. But the thing is, like, part of the decision of where to go next is the realization or decision comes from what we enjoy about playing the last group of material, the newest group of material live.
Mm-hmm.
And how we, what we want to expand upon or what we don't want to do, you know.
Okay.
Or what new sounds we'd like to incorporate, you know, what's inspiring, what's different. Because I think we're all very conscientious about not just retreading the same stuff. I think we should retain certain identifiable sound, you know, what our sound is. Like,
mm-hmm.
It should always sound like Paul Bearer. We're unlikely to put out, you know, a disco record anytime soon. But, you know, I think that our palette is and contains a lot of colors, so we just decide what colors to use for each album.
Nice, man. Well, if you had all the colors and you were the host of your own radio show, and I'm not just talking about it, I do a metal show. This is Metal Shop. But if you could just, you had free range to just do whatever, open-ended, your, and you could pick a few records to suggest to play on the radio, what are a few artists you would play on your own magical radio show?
Oh, it's so tough. Like, those are just really difficult questions for me because I listen to a wide range of music.
Sure.
And a lot of it falls outside of metal.
Mm-hmm.
I made a playlist for this Austin. We're playing in Austin soon and on this next run, and the promoter wanted a 10-song playlist. And it's kind of like embarrassing how long I spent trying to decide the 10 songs to put on it, because it was like, you know, you could do 10 of your favorite songs, 10 of your top 10 songs of all time, which is an impossible question. Or, you know, 10 songs that you've been listening to recently, just like stuff that you're into.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a sampling of stuff I've been listening to. But then I got into like, well, what's the perfect flow? It's got a flow.
Yeah.
From beginning to end. And, you know, there's 17-minute ambient song on there, and there's also like grind, you know.
Yeah.
So how do you make that work in one playlist? So that's the kind of consideration that goes into our albums too, like, or just composing a song. It's honestly a problem, but or it's an obsession. But I don't know. I think it would probably just be whatever I'm in the mood for, as long as the radio listeners would be interested in whatever I'm into that day, because I was listening to like LaRaji less on the drive. I was driving back from visiting family yesterday. I listened to some LaRaji, the kind of like hammered dulcimer player.
That's funny. I work at a factory that makes hammered dulcimers.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing instruments. Lisa Gerard from Dead Can Dance famously plays one of those.
Yeah.
Great effect.
Botanist. You know the black metal band Botanist that plays hammered dulcimer? There you go.
I actually need to... I listened to one of those early Botanist records that I kind of forgot about them. Yeah. I need to go back and explore that more. So, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of whatever... You know, I think I at this point in my life gravitate towards a lot of kind of hypnotic sort of music.
Okay.
It lets my brain clear. But I also still really, you know, enjoy really technical music or, you know, metal, whatever, heavy stuff. It's just entirely mood based.
Well, we'll see when we catch you in a mood. That's why your radio show would be fun, because it'd be like, all right, I'm in a shit mood today. Let's play some grindcore. The next day, you're exactly. Like, all right, I'm in a great mood. Let's play some pop.
Mutual is, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
It would be fun if the listeners would be willing to go along for the ride.
Hey, man. Just go on the BBC. You could be the new John Peel, so... There we go.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Dream job.
Dream job. Dude, thank you so much for agreeing to do the interview. Again, we're going to welcome you back to the Northwest on the 19th at the Substation. That's coming up next Friday. You can get your tickets now at the Substation website. And again, we're talking with Brett from Pallbearer. They have a new album called Mind Burns Alive. Pick up the record when you go see them live at the Substation on the 19th. Brett, any final words for the Seattle audience and Metal Shop before we see you on the 19th?
I'm excited to be up there again.
Nice.
It's always a blast playing up in Seattle, so I'm excited to see some friends and play some shows up there, or play a show.
It's so, good, yeah. Vibes here for you, man, and we're stoked to see you. I'm sure it's going to be a packed show, and it'll be a very sweaty night.
Good. That's how I like it.
Right on. Brett, thank you so much, man. I'll see you at the show.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Right. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.